With that, let's bring in our first guest of the show today, a very familiar voice here at Fox. It's Britt Hume, Chief Political Analyst at Fox News. And Britt, Happy New Year.
Same to you, Guy. Thank you.
All right, so let's start with the general election picture, which I know is sort of counterintuitive. Maybe we should start where voters are going to start, which is the primary. We'll get to that, though. There was a USA Today Suffolk poll that came out here in the new year, and it asked the American people if there's a matchup, a rematch, between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, how would they vote? And the result was as follows: Trump 39%, Biden 37%, somebody else 17%, awfully high. I remember back in 2016, Britt, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were collectively the least popular nominees from the two major parties in recent memory. And even with a lot of people dissatisfied, they combined for 94% of the vote ultimately. Someone else getting 17%? I don't know. I'm skeptical of that. Trump up 2 in the 30s. What do you make of that?
Well, I can't help but think that, you know, people are in larger numbers than we've seen aching for a different matchup, even as we careen toward what looks like an inevitable matchup between Biden and Trump. So I think that number is, you know, telling in that sense. But, you know, when it gets down to it, when you have a choice of two, the alternatives that are out there now, you know, Bob Kennedy and whoever else, they tend to fade as the general election approaches.
Within this polling, it finds a few different things, actually. The data was eyebrow-raising, but not an outlier. Right. If this were one poll, it'd be one thing. But we've seen this in a number of surveys now for months, with Joe Biden really failing to hit his marks, or even close, with certain key demographics, including Black Americans, young people, Hispanics. In this poll, you've got Biden only at 63%, with 20% or so of Black people saying they'd vote for a third party. 63% would be catastrophic for Biden among Blacks. The poll also has young people voting for Trump over Biden. I really struggle to see either of those things playing out. I think a lot of people in those groups end up, quote unquote, coming home. But the question is, do a lot of them end up, in my mind at least, staying home? You'd have some people maybe drifting off to Trump who previously didn't. You know, other people, you know, maybe they're intrigued by Cornel West or RFK Jr. or Joe Manchin, or, you know, fill in the blank. I wonder if the people who are unhappy with Biden, is the question not really keeping Democrats up at night, do they end up voting for someone else? It's, do they end up voting at all? Does that resonate with you?
Well, I think, yes, I think that that's how dissatisfaction with the choice is likely to be expressed, is by people simply saying, well, I may go to the polls and I'll vote for Senate in the down ballot races, and I'm certainly not going to vote for president because I don't really care much for either one of them. I don't, you know, I think Biden has been an ineffective president, but Trump is too much to stomach, so I'll simply leave the presidential line blank. And, you know, that, I think that's, it makes perfect sense as an option for people who feel that way.
Britt, I saw some reports that Joe Biden's about to give another big speech about democracy and the grave, grave threats that democracy faces with Donald Trump back on the ballot. He's also going to be highlighting January 6th in the next couple of days in a very major way. He's also going to be highlighting racist violence, apparently, on the campaign trail. And also, he's got more plans for so-called student debt forgiveness. I mean, these seem to be clearly like guided missiles at very specific groups. Independent, moderate, suburbanites, like, hey, let's talk about democracy. It was pretty successful for the Democrats in the midterms. Hey, I'm going to go to the church where a white supremacist killed people. Like, I'm on your team, African-Americans. Oh, let's forgive some debt. Hello, young people. It seems like the campaign is behaving in a way that they actually do think that they are soft with these groups. How effective do you think the pandering, some of it very hardcore pandering, to try to make up some of that ground will be for Team Biden?
I am skeptical of whether that stuff is going to work, Guy. I really am. You know, when it comes to Trump and threat to democracy, I think the people who are worried about that are already accounted for, that they're already, you know, the level of motivation against Trump among a great many Democrats is pretty strong. But I think, you know, one thing that's maybe helping Trump right now is that, you know, he's out now with some big report that he's published that I got a copy of it. I haven't gone through it yet. That outlines all these claims that that the election in 2020 was stolen from him and so on. And I have a feeling that the people who believe that already believe it, and the people who don't, and it's not likely to change very many minds. But the thought that Donald Trump is going to turn America into a dictatorship, I think, isn't going to fly with a great many people. And partly that's because, despite the fact that he still harps on 2020, he hasn't been all that visible. You know, he's way ahead in the race. He doesn't really have anything new to say. And you know, people have sort of made up their minds about him. So, I don't know how much difference this stuff is going to make. I mean, I think the big story, if there's been a big story in this year, this previous year, 2023, was the growing disaffection with Biden and the fact that he looked like, that Trump looked like a sure loser and Biden like a likely winner. And the disaffection with Biden has only grown. And that's why Democrats at the end of the year, looking at least some polls showing that Trump would beat Biden in a general election, are so panicked about it.
Yeah, and part of the problem for these Democrats is this same USA Today survey I was just referencing also measured the popularity of the vice president, and she is less popular than the unpopular president. She would be next in line and trying to wrest control of the nomination from her, should Biden step aside for whatever reason. No easy task, a lot of identity politics at play there, and she is more disliked than Joe Biden. So they've got a real dilemma on their hands. The Republicans certainly have their own problems that we've seen with cycle after cycle of losing and underperformance. Something's got to give. I guess we'll see what that is. You said, Britt, a moment ago, and I don't disagree, but you said that we appear to be careening toward this inevitable rematch that a lot of Americans just don't want. Most Americans, based on the polls, don't want it, but we're probably going to get it anyway. Looking at the Republican primary, you've got, you know, DeSantis out there, Nikki Haley. They've had their moments. Haley had a couple rough days in recent weeks. DeSantis seems to have plateaued and maybe losing altitude. Even in a place like Iowa, where he really has to do well, Trump way, way out in front in all these polls, with almost no exceptions in the early states. Is there a plausible, based on your experience, you've covered a lot of cycles, Britt, is there some plausible path for someone other than Donald Trump to be the Republican nominee at this point? What would that look like?
Well, look, based on my experience, there's always a big surprise, and maybe a number of big surprises, in every election cycle. That would be the best reason to think that something could still happen that would knock this race off its current course. But it hasn't happened yet. And no, these candidates have been out there for some time now, and they've been running. I mean, Ron DeSantis has been out there since last year, running hard, particularly in Iowa. And, you know, it doesn't seem to have worked. Maybe it will. Maybe you could win Iowa. Then you have the question of whether, you know, how big a catapult Iowa could be. You know, it helped Jimmy Carter in 1976, and it helped George H.W. Bush in 1980. But it doesn't have
Obama?
A long history. Huh?
Yeah, it helped Barack Obama.
Yeah, it helped Obama. But the point being that on the Republican side, which is where, you know, people are hoping, have had the highest hope for a big surprise. It's been a long time since it's really elected any nominee, and I'm not sure it ever has really on the Republican side. Some have won it, but as far as the catapult effect that I think, you know, some of these campaigns have hoped for through the years, it hasn't really happened. So we're very close now to actual voting, and you're looking at the needle, and it hasn't moved much. Now, maybe it could, and it would be exciting. It would certainly make it more exciting for those of us who cover this stuff if some
no
big
doubt.
Surprise occurred. But so far, we haven't seen it.
Well, and you said we're very close. I mean, no doubt. What, January 15th, it is right around the corner. Iowa, New Hampshire, the following week. We'll be both places here for this show. We'll be on TV as well. I think, Brett, I might be seeing you around in those two states. And if there's a big surprise, we'll talk about this conversation. If not, well, I guess we won't be surprised together. Britt Hume, chief political analyst here at Fox. Britt, really appreciate it. See you soon.
All the best.